Jesus is lovingly trying to get the message through to the Laodicean church. Repent. Change. You can become different than indifferent.
And that is just one moment from today's Peace and Power Bible Talk with Dr. Jim Coleman. Welcome. Somewhere deep within, each of us desires an inner flow of peace and power that transforms our daily attitudes, relationships, and life decisions. The Bible, God's message to us, teaches us to live in that flow. Remember, the outline of today's talk is available in the show notes, and the full transcript is posted on our website at peaceandpowerpodcast.com. That's peaceandpowerpodcast.com. Now let's listen for God's guidance in today's Bible talk.
When my spouse Tammy and I were house hunting a few years ago, our real estate agent took us to a home on the market for a walkthrough. The house had just been repossessed by the bank, and some of the contents of the home were still there, things left behind by the previous residents. The yard was unmown, the rooms were unvacuumed and dirty, the kitchen had a slightly unwelcoming smell, the garage was a junk pile, and on the porch were abandoned toys, a little red wagon, a teddy bear, and only one child's shoe. After the walkthrough, we stood on the front porch, and our realtor paused and lowered his head. "I don't know the story here," he said, "but something is sad. It's like this was once a happy home, but at some point, somebody just stopped caring." One of the greatest God-given abilities we humans can experience is caring. Caring about our relationships, caring about our work, caring about our personal growth, caring about our community, caring about justice, caring for creation. What fulfillment there is in caring. Remember that invitation Peter gives to us in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7? "Give all your worries and cares to God, for He cares about you." The God of the universe is a caring God. What we miss out on when we do not care, when we never commit to anyone or anything, when we're never passionate about any calling or any goal, and it is especially saddening when we used to care deeply about someone or something, and we've now become indifferent. We no longer care. And most frightening of all is just how easy it is to become indifferent. Now, indifference may grow within us, or we can follow the examples of indifference around us, or we can reflect the spirit of indifference in the culture that influences us. When you and I hear the words of Jesus in the letter to the Laodiceans in Revelation chapter 3, we really get a similar message as the realtor expressed on that front porch. Something like, "This was once a happy church, but at some point, they just stopped caring." Yes, between the lines, we read these flickers of a former happiness, the joy of embracing Jesus for salvation, a new life brought by the living Jesus and the dynamic Holy Spirit and the written Word of God, the privilege of being persecuted for Jesus. But this once happy, probably once holy and dedicated and consecrated congregation, at some point, just stopped caring. In earlier times, they thought they could make a difference in Laodicea for the kingdom of God. But thinking they could make a difference had become indifference, just not caring anymore. How could this indifference set into their minds and hearts? What happened to their relationship with Jesus? Well, Jesus knows the answer to those questions. And Jesus, through the Holy Spirit inspiring John to pen a letter to them, points out where the relationship had gone off the rails. Why does Jesus point it out? Because He wants them back. He wants them to care again. He cares about the signs of the dirty carpet and abandoned front yard toys and that single shoe. So here are the first of Jesus' words to this congregation in Revelation chapter 3, verses 14 through 16. Write this letter to the angel of the church in Laodicea. This is the message from the one who is the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of God's new creation. I know all the things you do, that you are neither hot nor cold. I wish that you were one or the other. But since you are like lukewarm water, neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. Well, first, John describes Jesus as a caring communicator, as the Amen, the faithful and true witness. The Laodicean church may not care anymore, but Jesus does. Jesus will not stay silent and let them slide off the cliff of indifference. He calls them back. They have been unfaithful in their relationship to him, but he will remain faithful to them and to God the Father. And a part of faithfulness on his part is calling them back to faithfulness on their part. So Jesus is described here as a witness, and the New Testament Greek word for witness is martus, the root of our English word martyr. In the context of the persecuted Christians reading this book of Revelation, it is assumed that if they are witnesses for Jesus, they will become martyrs. For them, witnessing for Jesus leads almost certainly to dying for Jesus. And Jesus is himself a faithful witness. He died for his witness. He died on the cross. He was martyred for our salvation. Unlike the Laodicean Christians who have been unfaithful witnesses, Jesus has remained the faithful witness. And unlike the Laodicean believers who are being untrue to, being counterfeits of, fakers of genuine, committed, real faith, Jesus is a real witness, a committed witness who backs up his trust in God with his actions. This is why John calls Jesus the Amen, the true witness. Amen, in its most basic meaning, conveys firm. So it has come to mean truly or surely. So without doubt, without question, with absolute firm certainty, Jesus is faithful. He is going to come through. In the Gospels, we see he comes through for whatever the Father asks him to do, and he fulfills his mission. And because he's our Savior, he comes through for us. And many of you have counted on Jesus' faithful care of you. That trust is conveyed so well in the lyrics of a contemporary Christian song, My Redeemer is Faithful and True. Hear these lyrics. As I look back on the road I've traveled, I see so many times he carried me through. And if there's one thing that I've learned in my life, my Redeemer is faithful and true. My Redeemer is faithful and true. Everything he has said, he will do, and every morning his mercies are new. My Redeemer is faithful and true. John gives one more description of Jesus before giving Jesus' message to this particular indifferent congregation in Laodicea. John says Jesus is the beginning of God's new creation, the last part of verse 14. Jesus' resurrection is the central event in the history of the world. It was the beginning of a new universe. When Jesus became your Savior, you began to live in a new universe, a new creation, which has not fully come, but has started. In his ministry of teaching and healing, Jesus announced and demonstrated that a new kingdom is coming. This world is passing away, 1 Corinthians 7:31. And you and I, the church, are already the new people of the beginning of the new world, of the new kingdom, God's kingdom. This is why John says Jesus is the beginning of God's new creation. The Laodicean Christians, as we will come to see a bit later in this letter, are hanging on to, they're still comfortable with, the old world, the present world. They want the old and the present world in their right hand and the new world in their left hand. It's as if they are quite comfortable with being half-changed by Jesus, with one foot happily in the present world system and one indifferently in the new creation. They are comfortable with being half-transformed by Jesus, half-committed to Jesus, half-witnesses for Jesus. And Jesus conveys that's not an option. Verses 15 and 16 are the words of Christ himself to this congregation in Laodicea. It is likely addressed through their spiritual leader, their pastor, since Jesus says, write this letter to the angel of the church in Laodicea. An angel in the Greek simply means messenger, whether a human messenger or a supernatural messenger. So it might mean a supernatural messenger, but the pastor would likely be responsible to read aloud this letter of Jesus' words to the congregation. And here are those words. I know all the things you do, that you are neither hot nor cold. I wish that you were one or the other. But since you are like lukewarm water, neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. Wow, Jesus gets right to the point. All the seven churches which receive letters in Revelation chapters 2 and 3 are reminded by Jesus that he knows them, and he knows what they do. Laodicea is not alone under the watchful eye of the Lord Jesus. Jesus has the right to oversee his new community, the church. But these particular words, this particular imagery, belongs to the Laodiceans' letter. The imagery of lukewarmness or indifference. Jesus first points to their works. I know the things you do. Our actions are windows into our true thoughts, our attitudes, and our commitments. So what do their actions reveal? Quote, you are neither hot nor cold. I wish that you were one or the other. But since you are lukewarm water, neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. Jesus mentions lukewarm water, evidently water which has been swallowed and makes one nauseated. This is something about which the ancient Laodiceans know well. 6 miles north of Laodicea is Hierapolis, known for its medicinal hot springs. Then there was a remarkable ancient aqueduct from the city of Denizli to Laodicea. And this aqueduct carried hot water that cooled on its way to Laodicea and was only tepid when it reached that city. It was best to use this water for bathing or irrigation, but not best for drinking. It could stimulate nausea. So we must put these facts together to understand Jesus' image. Remember, Jesus seems to be focusing on this congregation's works, what they do and do not do, works which flow from their uncommitted, non-passionate, indifferent relationship with Jesus. So their lukewarm spiritual condition does not provide a hot, medicinal, healing church ministry in their community. Their lukewarm spiritual condition also does not provide a cold, pure, invigorating, refreshing ministry for their community. The Laodicean church is neither healing nor refreshing in its community. They are just there. A few years ago, I heard a longtime church member complain in this way. Our church has been on this street for 50 years. If the neighborhood doesn't know by now that we're here and doesn't want to come, that's on them, not on us. This person was a Sunday school teacher, recited the Apostles' Creed and sang hymns and heard the sermon every week. He was a dedicated volunteer. Yet he didn't think that the church had any call from Christ to reach out in spiritual healing, reach out in spiritual refreshment. Unfortunately, he may have been quite satisfied being a member in the Laodicean church. Then Jesus gives a warning. If this spiritual lukewarmness continues, this lukewarm attitude, this lukewarm lack of action continues, Jesus' reaction will be just like the stomach's reaction to that lukewarm water piped into Laodicea from Denizli. Nausea. Jesus states, "I will spit you out of my mouth." Literally, in the Greek, "I will vomit you out of my mouth." Spiritual lukewarmness and ministry lukewarmness makes Jesus sick to his stomach, so to speak. But Jesus' words are, at this moment, only a warning. There's time to change. Lukewarmness can be transformed into healing warmth and refreshing coolness. What mercy and grace the Lord has for this wayward church. How he longs for them, for us, when we are a wayward people, to repent, to change direction. One of my friends from childhood, a bright and beautiful young woman, when she was in her late 20s and into her 30s, became engulfed in drug addiction. I remember her father saying, "I just don't know what to do anymore. She won't listen to anything I say. I can't give her money anymore, or she will buy meth or cocaine with it. She doesn't even see herself in the mirror. She is thin, dark circles under her bloodshot eyes. Her teeth are rotting. I don't hear from her for months at a time. She just doesn't care about her family anymore, about her body anymore, or her life anymore. How can I make her care?" Do you hear the broken-hearted yearning in this father's voice? He would do anything to get the message through to his daughter. And Jesus is lovingly trying to get the message through to the Laodicean church. Repent. Change. You can become different than indifferent. Jesus offers this to any person, to any church, any time, in any place, whose ministry is paralyzed by comfortable, lazy indifference. By the power of the Holy Spirit, any church can leave indifference behind and become a passionate, healing church and refreshing church to the community in which Christ has placed it. You know, we have an English word which often refers to a risky action, the word careless. But Jesus warns the ancient Laodicean church that a risky inaction is careless. It reveals an indifference in the mind, an indifference of the heart that leads to an indifference of action. It is careless. Careless. But they can be filled with Holy Spirit care. Be careful. Be caring. They can vacuum the spiritual carpet, so to speak. Pick up the strewn spiritual toys from the front porch, so to speak, and can reach out to their community with healing and refreshment. If so, if they do reach out, the community notices. It is the community's responsibility to notice, to truly reflect. The church cannot do that for them. Jesus said people must have hearts that desire to truly see and ears that desire to truly hear. Matthew chapter 13, verses 12 through 16. But when community members truly encounter caring Christians like this, they may think the opposite of what our realtor friend said. They may think something like this: "I don't know the full story here, but something here is healing. Something is refreshing. Somebody here really cares." This is the church, brothers and sisters, that is different than indifferent. Consider this peace and power principle. Because Jesus was a faithful witness, his power within us makes us faithful witnesses.
Thank you for listening to the Peace and Power podcast, and we invite you to subscribe to hear the next upcoming Bible talk. Again, our website is peaceandpowerpodcast.com, and our prayer is that God's Word has brought you a greater sense of a supernatural flow of God's peace and power in your life.